As if everybody doesn't have a handout, I know we're out of handouts, and I should have printed some more, but I didn't. I didn't print enough. But you'll be able to follow along and do well, I think, even without that. In Ephesians chapter 6, we're talking about establishing holy habits, and we spent a lot of time discussing the importance of having a foundation upon which to build these holy habits and why we build these holy habits. Ephesians 6:12 is another reminder of why we need to be disciplined for the purpose of godliness, why we need to have these holy habits built into our life. Because Ephesians 6:12 reminds us, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. You know, our enemy is not flesh and blood enemies. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? That's what it says. So that's the warfare that we're in. That's what's going on. And because of that, then the next verse says, wherefore, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Verse 14 then starts tripping over into the different areas of the armor of God. And you got the belt of truth, and you got the breastplate of righteousness, and you're to be shod with the footwear of the gospel of peace. We're not talking about Birkenstocks or slides or flip-flops. We're talking about battle shoes, being shod with the gospel of peace, and you're taking the shield of faith with you. And of course, you got the helmet of salvation. And then the last piece listed is not a defensive piece of armor, but it is the sword of the Spirit. And all of this is bathed and saturated in prayer as we go to warfare every day. And that's why we need to have these holy habits. That's why we need to discipline ourselves for the purpose of godliness. And by the way, if you're looking at your handout, that's the first blank there. 1 Timothy 4:7-8 repeatedly tells us, and I'm not going to get tired of taking you there, and I don't want you to get tired of it either. Before I quote that, though, that verse, I want you to look at the screen. There's a J.I. Packer quote. J.I. Packer wrote a fantastic book called Knowing God. I'd recommend it to anybody. However long it take you to read it, it's worth working through. That's my favorite of his books. But he says this, if I were the devil, so he's talking about if he was trying to draw people away from the things of the truth. If I were the devil, one of my first aims would be to stop folk from digging into the Bible, knowing that it is the Word of God, teaching men to know and love and serve the God of the Word. I should do all I could to surround it with the equivalents of pits, thorn hedges, and man traps to frighten people off. At all costs, I should want to keep them from using their minds in a disciplined way to get the measure of the message. I've got to really harness myself and not get carried away right here, because so often what people are attracted to when it comes to church or church-related things is, honestly, they're not attracted to having their minds taught or stretched or disciplined. But they're interested in just having their feelings pumped up. Are you following me? And then it pushes us completely away from anything that matters or has anything to do with the truth of God's Word. We need to understand, just like salvation and just like spirituality, just like biblical spirituality, just like growing in Christ, sanctification is a theological term that we should understand. It's from the inside out. It's not from the outside in. The same thing is true when it comes to our feelings and our emotions and all those things. It can't be outside in. It's got to be inside out. Diane and I went up and visited Mom and Dad. I try to take every opportunity to visit Dad ever since things have fallen out the way they have, and a 5-hour round trip is a small thing to sacrifice, you know, for taking advantage of every opportunity I can to spend with Mom and Dad. So after the funeral on Monday afternoon, you know, we jumped in. I mean, we jumped in the vehicle and head straight up there. And yesterday morning, a couple from their church, who also has an HVAC business, he stopped by to look at Dad's unit, and before he got started, he's new to their church and the preaching ministry of Brother Daryl Sparks, where you go slow and deep and are blessed by the unpacking of the Word of God. Amen? I mean, y'all have heard him preach. And this fellow, Bill Bruns, he was just so excited. He is so thankful. He is so happy that God has led him and his wife to Dearborn Baptist Church. And he works, I'm not making this up, he works between 60 to 70 hours a week at his job in southwestern Ohio. He runs his own HVAC business, and so he's working 6 days a week. On Sunday, when he gets off work, he goes and he sleeps a couple hours, and he goes to church. And then he sleeps when he gets home from the morning service, and he goes back to the evening service. It's pretty easy not to go at all, right? Right? I mean, you're just tired, I'm wore out, and you don't have... I better get a hold of myself. But he's pumped. He's happy to belong to a church that loves the Lord, loves each other, and is serious about not just learning God's Word, but living God's Word. He hasn't had that for the most part of his life. And to have that now, he's come alive to it, and he can't get enough of it. And so working 6 days a week, Tuesday's his off day where he does a lot of his HVAC stuff, but he still gets up and he goes to the church office and he has a Bible study with the associate pastor that can last, you know, anywhere from an hour to sometimes three if they get carried away. My point with all that is he was excited yesterday, wasn't he? I mean, he was excited. He was emotional. He was feeling it. And it wasn't from the outside in. It wasn't because of powerful guitar riffs and smoke and mirrors and lights and all kind of productions. It was because the Word of God is changing his life. And it's evident. And it's awesome. And a lot of times we take that for granted and we think that the other stuff is what's so powerful. You know, a certain kind of program or a certain kind of demographic that's prevalent at the church or a dress code or, you know, service times or service schedules. And we get so distracted that we don't even know what's real anymore. Well, that brings us to this holy habit that's so important. 1 Timothy 4:7-8, this is the foundation of a holy habit. Says, exercise yourself rather unto godliness. That's the purpose of forming holy habits. The purpose of establishing spiritual disciplines is godliness. Discipline yourself for the discipline for the purpose of godliness is a delight, not a drudgery. And that's what 1 Timothy 4:7-8 teaches, and that's been our driving point throughout all this. Last week we learned three of the first five fundamentals of feeding on God's Word, and they are hearing, reading, and studying God's Word. So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17 says. And over and over again, we're reminded in Scriptures to read the Word, read the book. Until I come, give attendance to reading, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:13. And then 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You can't study what you're not reading, and you can't and hearing is a part of reading and studying. So those are the first of five ways that we feed on God's Word. And then today we're going to talk about the final two, and that is memorizing and meditating on the Word of God. So I want you to turn back in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. I also want you to find Proverbs 7, but also find Deuteronomy chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 7 and Deuteronomy chapter 6. And I want to read a couple passages to really get us launched into what we're talking about tonight, memorizing and meditating on God's Word. We need to hear it. We need to read it. We need to study it. You say, Travis, what's the difference between reading and studying? And I say this all the time. This is the difference between reading and studying. A pen and something to write on. Or if you're of that persuasion, a digital device in your thumbs so that you can make notes, so that you can write questions that you're going to look up and answer, so that you can make connections between passages that you've been reading, so that you can write yourself clear about what you're looking at. That's the difference between reading and studying, and memorizing and meditating go into that. So Proverbs chapter 7, verses 1 through 3. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them upon your fingers, write them upon the table of your heart. That's obviously talking about the need to be saturated with God's word, to meditate on it by memorizing it. Now look over to Deuteronomy 6 and verses 4 through 9. This is what's called the Shema. Hear, O Israel. That's what Shema means, to hear, O Israel. The Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, with all your might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that there shall be frontlets as between your eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of the house and on the gates. And especially when it comes to verses 8 and 9, it's okay to write them physically down and post them in places in your house. I think that we have that, especially, and I'll get into that here in a little bit. But the idea behind that is connected to the end of verse 6. They shall be in your heart. This is talking about knowing God's word personally and by memory. And also, when teach your children diligently, talk about this when you sit down and when you walk and when you lie down and when you rise up. It doesn't mean that you constantly have a Bible open and every time you speak to your children, you say, turn to this passage. That is a good thing, obviously, to do with your kids. But you get the idea here that what Brother Thomas would always say is talking the Scriptures. You spend time in Scriptures. You're hearing it, reading it, studying it, memorizing and meditating on it, so that this book is the lens through which you interpret the world. So when you talk about current events, when you talk about work on the job, when you talk about how to live as a neighbor, when you talk about, and not just talk about these things, but as you talk, period, it is all filtered through. You can tell that this person has been touched and is being moved by the Word of God. Not just somebody who gives lip service to Christian thoughts and Christian topics. Anybody can say, God bless America. Anybody can say, God help us. Anybody can say, America needs God. Anybody can say stuff like that, but do you live and do you speak and do you think and do you act as if you believe in the God who's in that Bible? That's what this is talking about. It's not talking about slogans. It's not talking about Christian lingo that we've heard all of our life because we just happen to be blessed to have been raised and live in South Central Kentucky. It's this book affecting the way we interact with the world around us. These are the five fundamentals of feeding on God's word. Now, some of you may be thinking, hey, look, memory and meditating. Meditating sounds like something that New Agers do, and memorizing is just something that I can't do. I've got the worst memory. I can't remember my kids' names. I can't remember. I know how all that goes. I used to say, look, you can memorize. You've memorized your phone number, right? And now nobody knows what their phone number is. I said, I don't know what my phone number is. I never call myself, and when I use my phone, I just go to my contacts list. But I'm pretty sure all of you will remember how to get home tonight, right? I mean, nobody's going to have to ask you, how do I get back to my house? And you know how to get here. And when you ask for directions for people around here, y'all really have good memories because you're not just telling me what road to turn on. You're giving me landmarks. I love it. I love small town America because you go to this intersection where this tree is and where that store used to be and turn right and bear it's, and I'm like, you got a road name. Can I just have a road name? I would love a road name. But it's not the way it works around here. And y'all got great memories. Because not you don't just know what the road names are. You know what they used to be. It used to be called such and such a road. And all these people used to live there. We can remember things. Really, memorization is not a matter of ability. It's a matter of desire. Are you willing to discipline yourself for the goal of memorization? Are you willing to discipline yourself? I'm sure there are some specific and unique cases where a person can't remember things, but that's an unusual number. I don't know if you've ever heard of the name Dawson Trotman before. If you haven't heard of the name Dawson Trotman, you may have heard of the organization called the Navigators. The Navigators is a group, and they've been big, especially on college campuses, but they're kind of like, they are a parachurch organization. But they're big on discipleship, and so there's a publishing house connected to the Navigators, and J.I. Packer has a lot of his books have been published through Navigators. Well, Dawson Trotman is the founder of that organization. Dawson Trotman was saved in 1926. He drove a truck for a lumber yard in Los Angeles. And when he was saved in 1926, driving that lumber truck all around Los Angeles, booming, especially at that time, he, sitting in his truck, making deliveries, made an effort to memorize Scripture every day. Every day, he's driving around L.A., delivering lumber. He's going to work. He's not going to listen to radio. He's not going to listen to sports talk. He's not going to listen to political noise. He's going to work at memorizing Scripture. At the end of 3 years, the first 3 years of his Christian life, Dawson Trotman had memorized 1,000 verses of Scripture in 3 years. A baby Christian. My point is, we can do it if we make the effort, right? If we recognize the need. Well, let's look at the benefits. The benefits of memorization. Memorization supplies spiritual power. So Psalm 119:11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Colossians 3:2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. We refer to Ephesians 6:17 already, which talks about the word of God being the sword of the Spirit. And Matthew 4:1-11 is in your notes. I'm not going to turn over there, but if you remember in that section of Scripture, that's where Jesus is tempted. And by the way, what is one of the things that Satan uses when he tempts Christ? Do y'all remember that? He quotes Scripture when he tempts Christ. Don't think that only Christians are familiar with the Bible. Don't think that only Christians are going to refer to the Bible. A lot of people, it's not just wolves in sheep's clothing, but it's people who are just flat out wolves are going to use the Scripture to try to undo what Scripture teaches. And the only way that we can know what's right as opposed to what's wrong is not just if we say, well, the Bible says, but if we know what it says, right? It's amazing how many times people will say, well, the Bible says, but they don't know what it says. It's like one time I was visiting a fella. And he had visited our church, and it wasn't here, but it was a church I was at before. And he'd visited a church. He quit coming, and we were having a great visit together. But he wanted me to know, look, I'm not going to come back to church. I'm just going to try. He said, I just think a fella needs to live by the Ten Commandments. I don't need to go to church. I just think the Ten Commandments are right, and I need to try to live by them. I said, well, what are they? And I'm silent right now for a reason, because he couldn't tell me one of them. So how are you going to live by what you don't even know, right? It's called a smoke screen. It's called Quit talking to me about this stuff right now. I think you're an okay fellow, but I really don't want to hear that stuff. That's what that is. And you hear that all over the place, and you can't be discouraged by it. But in Matthew 4, 1 through 11, Jesus resists the temptations of the devil three times, all three times, by using the Word of God. And so one of the ways that we can experience spiritual victory is to do what Jesus did, and that is memorize Scripture so that it's available for the Holy Spirit to use when the time is necessary. When Scripture is stored in the mind, available to the Holy Spirit, He will bring it to your attention when you need it most. So memorization also strengthens your faith. So Proverbs 22, 17 through 19 says, this is great wisdom, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise and apply thine heart unto knowledge. For it is a pleasant thing if you keep them within you. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips. That means that they shall be ready on your mouth, that your trust may be in the Lord. I have made known to you this day, even to you. And don't forget what Romans 10, 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's first time faith when you're saved, and faith for each moment. So what Proverbs 22, 17, and 19 is teaching us here is that the reason for keeping the wise words of Scripture is so that the Scriptures will be ready on your lips and you'll be trusting in the Lord. And memorizing Scripture strengthens your faith. It repeatedly reinforces the truth, often just when you need to hear it. So memorization supplies power, it strengthens faith, and memorization aids in witnessing and in counseling. 1 Peter 3:15 is a great verse, but it's also quite convicting. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within you, for the reason for the hope that lies within you, with meekness and fear. You know, Scripture memory helps prepare us for those unexpected witnessing and counseling opportunities. If God is regularly going to put opportunities in our path. It's not just when we go door knocking, or not just, I'm going to go visit Billy, and that's the only opportunity you'll have to talk. Honestly, we need to purposefully go on to speak to people or to make visits. We need to schedule them and go just for the discipline of going. But quite honestly, the most beneficial moments you'll have are those impromptu, normal, organic conversations just as you go about your life, right? And the only way you're going to be prepared for that is if you're regularly in God's Word and if you're memorizing and hiding God's Word in your heart so that the Holy Spirit can bring to your mind what God's Word has to say on any situation. But until the verses are hidden in your heart, they're not going to be available to use in your mouth. Memorization is a means of God's guidance. You're already back in the Old Testament. Look at Psalm 119. I'm just going to go through some of those psalms, and we'll just read them real quick. And there's a bunch of other places in the Psalms that we could look, but Psalm 119 is a perfect psalm for this exercise. So Psalm 119, verse 9. We're talking about God's Word guiding us. Wherewithal shall a young man and a young woman, it's not just talking about the masculine, but it's young people. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Say, well, I don't know if I should do this. I don't know if I should act this way. I don't know if I should be with this person. I don't know if I should go along with what this group is doing. You know, we don't have to walk out into this minefield as if we don't know that these places are out there. God's word is the metal detector that will point out to us where the mines are so that we can negotiate the field without getting blown up. It's not something that we have to figure out by ourselves. It's not something that only one or two people can tell us and we have to do exactly what they say. It's God's word will guide us in this area. Look at verses 15 and 16. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Verse 24, thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. Verse 27, and I'll stop there. The rest of them are in your notes, and you can go through it. I'd love to do it, but make me to understand your way, the way of your precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. And then Ephesians 4:29 is more counsel along these same lines. The Holy Spirit will reveal truth to us from our memory, as we study God's word, as we memorize and meditate on God's word, and it will be available to us to use to tell others about Christ and to counsel others who are Christians, and including ourselves. But this is the result of disciplined scripture memory. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. And then fifth benefit is that memorization stimulates meditation. Memorizing scripture fuels meditating on scripture. And I got a bunch of psalms there. You're in Psalm 119. Look at Psalm 119:97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. And you know how it is. You know how it is if you got a song kicking around in your head, or a TV show that has just really marked you for whatever reason, or maybe you've heard something on a talk show, or maybe you've seen something on the news, and it just won't let go. That's what this is talking about. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. The more time we spend in God's word, the more time that we are going to have it walking around with us, the more time that we're going to have it locked into our head. You can turn over to Psalm 1. I'm not going to read it right now, but I am going to read it here after a bit. Just mark your place in Psalm 1, actually. Don't hold your place there, because we're going to come back to the man who walks beside the still waters and just who is planted beside the still waters in just a little bit. And that's in Psalm 1. But a memorized passage, a passage that you've locked away in memory, that passage can be meditated on anywhere, anytime, whether you've got a scripture, a copy of the scriptures with you or not. And you can benefit from the spiritual discipline of meditation only if you've made the deposits of memorization already. So let's talk about the methods then of memorization, the methods. And here's the first. You got to have a plan. You always have to have a plan. You can't, you'll hear me say this more than once tonight. He who aims at nothing almost always hits it. You need to have a plan for your memorization. You know, I mentioned Dawson Trotman. One time, a fellow that Dawson Trotman was discipling, and he was encouraging this fellow to memorize scripture, not just because Trotman had, but because of the benefits that we're talking about. And so he's encouraging this fellow to memorize scripture, and I don't know if this guy was kind of being a little bit of a smart aleck or something, but he told Trotman, he said, well, I think if I really worked at memorizing scripture, you know, 1,000 scriptures like you did in the first 3 years, I'd become prideful. And Trotman said, well, then concentrate on memorizing verses about humility. if that's what you're worried about. And maybe that's what you need to do. Maybe there's an area where you struggle, or maybe there's an area where you want to be strengthened, or maybe there's, you know, whatever. But plan your work and then work that plan when it comes to memorization. And then write out the verses. I do that. That's one of the reasons why I have one of these with me all the time. And one of the reasons why I like this better than the digital model is because I think personally that when it comes from your brain to your hand to a piece of paper, you remember it better than from your mind to your thumbs on a keyboard. You know, maybe that's just me. I don't know. I haven't done any kind of study on that. I haven't done any kind of scientific research on that. That's all anecdotal. I know the way this body works, if it goes from here to here to here, I remember it better than if I just do one of these. Now, the negative part about this is I can't search this like I can an iPad or my Google Drive or whatever else. Yeah, this is the only way I can search it. And that is a little time consuming, but it's worth it. It's worth it to me. Write out the verses. Write out the verses. That will help you in your memorization. Write them out on index cards. I can't remember all of James 3:17. I'm not the one who wrote it out, but Diana wrote it out, and she's got it posted in the house. But but the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable and gentle and easily to be entreated. And that's where I drop off when it comes to James 3:17. What's the rest of it, do you know? I can't remember either without looking it up. But write it down, post it, and maybe even sketch it out if that would help you too. Aim to memorize the verses word perfectly. Again, he who aims at nothing almost what? Almost always hits it. So aim to memorize the verses word perfectly. And don't use this as an excuse to quit, or I can't do it. Travis says I got to memorize the words, every word, and I just can't do that. I'm not saying get down on yourself if you miss a word or two. I'm not saying lose hope and quit and mope. I'm saying it's good to have an objective standard, right? Thank you, James. It's good to have an objective standard and one that we're not constantly lowering. Because if we constantly lower our standards, guess what's going to happen pretty soon? Yeah, that's right. They're gone. Aim to memorize the verses word perfectly. And you're not always going to have it down word perfectly. I just couldn't quote James 3:17. I've quoted a few others tonight, but I couldn't bring all that one up. But you're going to be there. You're going to be working in that direction. And we need to continue to do that. And then be accountable. Be accountable to yourself. Be accountable to others. Have somebody that will hold you accountable. And then review and meditate every day. Let me tell you when a great time to meditate on the verses that you're trying to memorize is. I think this is perfect. I don't always do this as well as I would like. But a great time to meditate on the verses you're trying to memorize is right before you go to sleep. So right before you go to sleep, just review and meditate these verses in your mind. And you say, Travis, and maybe a couple of you will come back to me and say, Travis, I was doing that. So I started that on Wednesday night. And I started reviewing and meditating on John 3:17. Everybody knows John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, I love John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He said, well, Travis, I was right before I went to bed. The whole last week, I was reviewing John 3:17, and guess what I did? I fell asleep before I got done reviewing it. Well, that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. It's time to go to bed anyway. You're trying to go to sleep. But if on the nights when you can't go to sleep, you're taking the most positive and peaceful information that you could soak up, and that's what's on your mind as you're trying to go to sleep. Amen? It's a great time to review the verses that you're trying to memorize. And let me just help you out here. When you're trying to find a plan or trying to think about what to do when it comes to these methods, if you're losing perspective on what's important in life, memorize 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's going to bring everything right into laser focus. 2 Corinthians 5:21. If you're struggling with condemnation, then read and try to memorize Romans 8:31 through 34. There is therefore no condemnation of those who are in Christ Jesus. Passages like that are passages that are a good place to memorize and to meditate. Now, the discipline of Scripture memory is not an end of itself. Just like all these holy habits, they're not ends in and of themselves. The purpose is always for godliness. That's the goal, to have our life transformed, our mind and our lives transformed by the Word of God. So biblical meditation, and we have to make the distinction between biblical and worldly meditation. Biblical meditation is deep thinking on the truths of Scriptures, the truths that are revealed in Scripture, not truths that somebody said came to them in a dream, not truths that somebody said came to them when they had an epiphany after they climbed the mountain or was pronounced dead for 5 minutes on the table and then came back to life. Not any of that stuff. Truths as revealed, objective truth as revealed by Scripture. That's what we're meditating on. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8 says this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." And that helps teach us that spiritual success is measured by one word, and that one word is faithfulness. Spiritual success is measured by faithfulness, not by any other metric. Not that other metrics aren't important, but that is how we recognize what success spiritually is are you faithful? That's the key. And we should never underestimate or never forget that the relationship between meditation on Scripture and success is God's Word. God's Word is like a fire. I love these passages. Psalm 39:3 says, "My heart was hot within me while I was musing." That's a word we don't use in that form a lot. That's in the King James there. Does anybody know what musing means? What's musing? Thinking. That's exactly right. Now, we don't use it like that. We don't use musing as thinking, but here's a word we use a bunch. Amusement, right? Now, what's amusement? What's amusement? Yeah, being entertained, right? Come on, stay with me here. The more you stay with me, the quicker I go. The more you fall asleep, the slower I get. So, musing means to think. Muse means to think. We all know when the prefix "ah" is before a word, it means nothing, or no, I should say, right? An atheist believes there is no God. So, amusement then is what? Not thinking. Not thinking. And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with amusement. I like amusement. But, beloved, I do believe, and this is not my phrase, a fellow by the name of Neil Postman wrote this probably about 30 years ago, but he's exactly right. Beloved, we are amusing ourselves to death. We amuse ourselves, and we become so busy with amusement, right? And if you're thinking that amusement's just a television show, then you're not picking up what I'm putting down. Because it's so much more than that. And we amuse ourselves to death. My heart was hot within me while I was musing. The fire burned. When I was thinking on the word of God, the fire burned. And then I spoke with my tongue. Jeremiah 23:29, "Is not my word like as a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces?" In one of my favorite verses, the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they said one to another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked to us by the way and while he opened up the Scriptures?" Well, let's land the plane and talk about Christian meditation here. Thomas Watson, by the way, in your notes, if you have that, he's an old Puritan, and he says, "The reason we come away so cold from reading the Word is because we do not warm ourselves at the fire of meditation." And by the way, if you kind of get a little aggravated at me when I encourage you to read through the Bible in a year, and you say, "I just can't get in and out of it. I'm just going so fast." Hey, look, you can't. We're reading the Bible. When you read through the Bible in a year, it's like standing back here and getting the big picture. Okay, that's reading through the Bible in a year, but when you pick a scripture out to meditate on or to study, then it's like this, an individual up close. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? Some of you nod. Let me think. Yes. See, this then is the closer. This is what it means. This is why we have to meditate and study. But we're still getting the big picture, but we're having the up close as well. That's what the meditation and the memorization is all about. That's what helps us to do that as we're reading through the scriptures. So let's talk about let's land the plane here with understanding what Christian meditation is. First of all, if you're into yoga or whatever else, and not just as an exercise, but as a spiritual regimen, I mean, if you can do the yoga exercises, my hat's off to you. I've tried. I can't. It takes a lot more core strength and patience than I have. But to me, there's a difference between downward pose or downward dog or whatever it is and the actual spiritual aspect that goes with that, which is all about emptying your mind. Biblical meditation is filling your mind with the mind of Christ, which is God's word. Meditation is both commanded and commended in the Word of God. And so I had you turn to Psalm 1 and hold your place there. Go ahead and look at it with me. Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And that guy will be like a tree, that lady will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You know, when it comes to meditation, you know, meditation aids in absorption. So we just talked about a man who's planted by the waters, and those roots go down deep there. When we meditate on Scripture, it aids us in absorbing the nutrients of God's Word. So meditation aids in absorption, and that is especially needful in an era of constant distraction and perversion. We are the most distracted society that has ever existed. And those technological devices that we have are great. I'm on one level. I mean, you can take your cell phone and you can listen to Scripture as you're driving so that you can help you can record yourself quoting a passage of Scripture and then play it on a loop while you're driving so that you can have that just drilled into your mind. But more often than not, what's going to happen when we're driving is we're looking at our phone and we're talking or we're texting somebody. And we are so distracted. I'll be 48 in about a month and a half, and I may be the last generation that can actually remember what it's like to not be able to be reached 24/7. I mean, there's an expectation now that we're always, why can't I get a hold of you? I've called you and I've texted you and you haven't answered me, right? I mean, there was a time when that happened all the time. Well, that's pretty easy. It happened on a regular basis. I just haven't been home by the phone. Nobody knows what it means to be sitting by the phone waiting on a call anymore. I'm sitting by the phone. The phone's in my hand everywhere I go. We are the most distracted society that's ever existed. And meditation helps to upend that distraction. Meditation is also, when it comes to what the Scriptures teach us, aids us in learning and growing on a level that we're not going to have if we're not meditating on God's Word. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Think on them. Hold them in your mind and mull over them. Psalm 119, 98 through 99 says, Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. Meditation aids with absorption. It guards against distraction. And distraction is what chokes out absorption. And we need to work when it comes to our meditating on the things of God's Word. All right. So, here's how I encourage you to do this. Select a passage, whatever passage stands out to you, and memorize it. And then repeat that by placing emphasis on different words. Let me give you a really simple example. This is from John. This is from the first half of John chapter 11, verse 25. I am the resurrection and the life. Who's talking there? Jesus. I am the, not me. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. You see how that works. I am the resurrection and the life. And when you put the emphasis on different words in the same verse, it gives you a full view of what you're memorizing and what you're meditating on. Rewrite the passage in your own words. And I simply mean, first of all, rewrite it with your hand, and then go ahead and paraphrase it with words that you understand better. Not changing the meaning, but words that will help you give a full understanding of what you're writing down. Pray through the passage. I like to say when I'm preparing to preach, I read myself full, I write myself clear, I pray myself hot, and then preach myself empty. I didn't come up with that. I've learned that from others, and I like it quite a lot. It's not just true of somebody who's preaching. It's good for all of us. Pray through the passage. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And then John 14:6 says that the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, the Father will send in my name. He will teach you all things and bring all things to remembrance whatsoever I have taught you. And then finally, look for applications of the text. This is the so what. Not just that I have to answer as I'm preaching, but that we have to answer as we're studying God's Word, as we're reading God's Word. You know, if you don't apply the Word of God, so applying it means this is what God's Word teaches me. And Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, for instance, I quoted that earlier. Set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. So the things that you love, the things that you delight in, the things that you think on all the time, the things where your mind is dwelling, that needs to be on the things of God's Word, not on things of this earth. If we don't apply that, if we don't put that into practice, that's kind of like chewing but never swallowing your food. So he's up there having chicken noodle soup and ham sandwiches a little bit ago. Tasted great. I loved every bite, but I'm still not chewing that food, right? That would be pretty nasty. It wouldn't be nearly as enjoyable. You got to chew it. You're chewing it to swallow it. Same thing with God's Word. We're reading it and memorizing it and meditating on it so that we can apply it. John 13:7 says, if you know these things, happy are ye, what? If you do them. If we don't apply the truth that we learn, we fool ourselves by thinking that we've gained some type of practical value regardless when we haven't. And regardless of how sweet the experience of discovery is, the one who will be blessed in their intake of God's Word is the one who will do what Scripture says. Now, on the backside of your hand out there, just something to pray about like we've been having, and then a pledge to make to begin tonight, if you haven't already, to work at memorizing and meditating on God's Word. I'm going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then we're going to, I told you we would do this last Wednesday, we're going to have a little bit of a business to vote on moving forward when it comes to our HVAC units here, but... And let's go ahead and have time together in God's before God's throne in prayer before we conclude our service and move on to that piece of business. Well, Father, I thank you for the time to be able to preach your word tonight. This is an area that I always want to improve on, and I don't think that I can ever get where I want to be. Of course, that's true of every aspect of spiritual growth and development, Father. I want to always be like Paul and continually press on. Press on for the prize, press on for the mark, for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And Father, help each one of us to understand that scripture memorization is not just something we teach kids to pass the time or to keep them active, but it's what we need to be doing, hiding God's word in our heart that we might not sin against you, because it is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And so, Father, may we put what we've been reminded of and maybe what we've learned for the first time tonight and put into practice and recognize how sweet it is. And Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.